City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi. And now the host of our program, City Desk, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. Good morning, Mr. Creel.
Good morning, William Sackett. We are recording this City Desk program at 9:09 in the morning on Thursday, June 27th, and we finagled a special guest who was happening to be walking by.
Innocently walking by, minding his own business.
Oh, he was wandering around aimlessly, to be honest. We'd like to welcome in our good friend, a friend of the Public Affairs Division. That would be Council Member Dr. Paul Tisdale. Good morning.
Morning, Vincent. I sort of feel like this is penance for sins I have committed or may consider committing in the future. By the way, I was on the way to a FEMA meeting here. Program manager for the city meets with FEMA every couple of weeks, and that's to keep the money flowing to the city. So I like to sit in on those and learn a few things every once in a while.
It is good because a lot of people don't realize that, number one, they're upset and frustrated by the amount of work they see going on out there. But one of the things they don't always consider is we have to do that work in a manner that is within the guidelines of all the state and federal requirements, and should we not do that, I think we'd be in a world of hurt.
Well, I mean, when you stop and think about this project, the whole project is what, $355 million that the citizens of Biloxi, through their federal taxes, are paying for, but mm-hmm. So are the rest of the citizens of the United States. So, I mean, if we had to pay for something like this locally, it would take forever and a day, and your taxes would be sky high. But that's just something to ponder.
It is. It really is. And why does it take so long, and why must we go through everything? Because we have to do it the right way. And the figure 355 is one we've stuck with for years, and people would say decades, but that is the amount of money that was originally obligated for this work, $355 million. To put it in context, we, during the height of the post-gaming era, we were spending probably about $15 or $16 million a year. And that included buildings and roads and so forth, 15 to 16 million. Then we went to the massive sum of 355 million. So if you do the math, it would take us a while to work through that. And as people will tell you, it is taking us a while. But you see progress every day. Let's talk about something else, though. This is one of the reasons I snagged you. Mississippi Municipal League was in town this week. And I don't know if it's good or bad that that's one of the largest association conventions in the state. You would hope that it would be like 6,000 to 10,000 people would be our largest convention in the state, but there's a big exchange of ideas there.
Yeah, it's an opportunity for councilmen and aldermen and some city officials to be educated literally and get continuing education units, those kinds of things, sit in on round tables, an opportunity to listen in this year to some of the candidates politically for statewide office. But really, it's a good opportunity to network, exchange ideas, and learn something about topics you may be interested in. Most folks wouldn't know much about tax increment financing, and Kenny Glavin and I were there a couple of days ago learning about tax increment financing, and it's interesting.
What was that the biggest thing you learned at this? And it seems to me like money is always an issue at this event.
Well, when you're in city government, money is always an issue. Too much money, not enough money, where's the money coming from, how much do I have to pay of that money? But in answer to your question, which I forgot, it was very enlightening.
Thank you, Paul. Now, another issue that we had at the city council meeting the other day, and we're not going to skip a one here since we've got you, Sanger Theater. What's up with that?
Well, we approved a $14 million bond issue roughly about a year ago, give or take a few months, and we were talking about with the administration, some of the councilmen wanted some things done in their ward. There's not enough money in that $14 million to do all that. The city wanted, the mayor and the administration wanted some things done citywide, not enough money to do what they want to do. So basically what we did was look at how are we going to divide this $14 million to get some things done in each of the wards and also get some things citywide done. One of those projects was the Sanger Theater. We budgeted, as I recall, about $1.5 million to do the exterior. The bids came in. The low bidder was about $2 million. And what the administration wanted to do was move $500,000 into that project, which meant some other projects are not going to get done. Well, I only have one project in my ward, and I've got to have that done. It's a drainage line that's collapsing. Other council members were worried about whether that $500,000 might be coming out of some of the projects in their ward. So I can understand their concern. Of course, the mayor has, in the administration of their monies from this $14 million bond issue, they want to do certain projects, and they don't want to take it out of some of their other projects. So basically what we're looking at, we're $500,000 short if we're going to repair the, I think it's the fly...
Fly tower.
The fly tower, the roof to weatherproof it, and part of the north wall. There's still some exterior repairs that are needed, and then you have the interior repairs, and then you got the heating and air. The bottom line is the council voted to table the matter, give the administration an opportunity to speak with the low bidder to see if he would extend the bids for 60 days, and that buys the administration some time to look around and see where can they find $500,000. And I know what your listeners are thinking. You mean you got a $500,000 you can't find already?
In a $55 million budget?
Exactly. And it's, well, you do look around. You're looking for ways, the administration is looking for ways to economize. They run the day-to-day operations. The mayor and his staff have to come with us and say, we think we have a plan. So where we are now is we're waiting for the mayor's plan to come up with an additional $500,000, and then we'll see if there are enough, if there's enough support on the council to vote to repair this anchor.
One of the things that has been floated is the city, the Gillage administration, following up on ideas and suggestions from some of the members of the council and some of the public that showed up. The city has now issued a request for proposals, and what the city is seeking is interest from the private sector, and that would be an option on how we could move forward. And it's pretty wide open. You know, it just says, what would your ideas be to help move forward with the Sanger? Would you be willing to manage the Sanger? Would you be willing to put some skin in the game? Is a cliche we heard over and over at the council meeting. So the big deal about this is a pretty quick turnaround on this. I think it's mid-July when these requests for proposals are going to be sought. And I guess you were aware that they were toying with that idea too.
Yeah, during the citizens' comments related to the Sanger Theater, they had a large crowd show up, which is always interesting. And personally, I wish we had a large crowd at every city council meeting so that folks are aware of what the issues are and to hear the discussion. All that being said, though, what we heard was there are a number of groups out there of Sanger supporters who, if the building were weatherproof, for example, would put on events to raise money to help fund the repair of the interior. The other thing is public-private partnerships are the rage now throughout communities across the United States. And how do you get the private sector involved? Folks who are interested in saving the Sanger Theater need to be engaged and active to help achieve that end. If you don't think we should put any more money into the Sanger, I would assume you'd let your council person know. Or, and this is important, you can come to any city council meeting. You have 3 minutes to tell the council how you feel about anything in the world, not just the Sanger Theater. It's not a question and answer time, but certainly you can let your feelings be known to the mayor, the CAO, any of the department heads present, and of course the council.
Good, good. Well said. There seems to be a continuing issue on when we have a special event and we implement a traffic plan. Came up again this weekend, and a lot of people, maybe they didn't hear a lot about scraping the coast in the march up to the event. But quite frankly, the promoter predicted he would have about 40,000 people here. Police were thinking that it could be somewhere around 25,000 or so. Regardless, that is a whole bunch of people on our roads. People see those cones going down, and it seems like you're seeing those cones more and more now. What is the answer to this? And by the answer, I mean, how do we get around, or how do we do a special event and not have traffic problems?
Well, remember, I mean, we're billing ourselves as a tourist destination. Something else to remember is if you want improvements done here in the city, there's really two ways to
to pay for them. One is that you as a residence can say, I'd like my taxes raised to pay for these improvements. And I'd like to raise my taxes a lot or a little, or I don't want to raise my taxes. Yet you want the improvements. You want the litter picked up. You want the sidewalks replaced, not just where the infrastructure is going to be replaced, but other parts of the city where the infrastructure is not being replaced from Katrina. That's one source of money, you. The other is sales tax. In order to see and maintain our sales tax or increase our sales tax, we have visitors and guests who come to the city of Biloxi. They stay here, they spend their money on food and gas and other things, souvenirs and so forth, and they pay the freight, or some combination of the two. I think the last time that the millage was increased was probably, I want to say for some reason, maybe off a year or two, about 1992. Think about it. The millage rate.
Now, by the way, when we say millage rate, we are talking about raising taxes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Millage is the rate of tax. For example, a mill in the city of Biloxi generates about $550,000. So if I have a house that's worth $100,000 and the millage goes up one mill, that means that I will pay $10 a year for my $100,000 house that's assessed by the county assessor. So if the millage were increased, that's going to get, for every $100,000, that's going to get $10 a year out of the property owner. So that's one way. The other is to encourage folks, particularly since we're a tourist destination with thousands of hotel rooms that we would love to see filled, not just on the weekends for people who hate events. Wouldn't it be nice if they were filled 7 days a week? And folks who hate the events would say, oh my God, that means we'd have four times as many events. But the thing to remember, and this is the challenge here, that the police department, the fire department, the first responders face, we only have two east-west corridors. We've got Irish Hill, we've got Highway 90. Unfortunately, with the infrastructure, 15 years after Katrina, we had a portion of Irish Hill by Azalea Drive where they're doing sewer and drainage work. Of course, everybody wants this infrastructure done as fast as possible.
15 years
they
later.
They still want to have, most folks want somebody else paying their taxes for them. So all I can tell you is you need to be patient. You need to allow yourself time to go from point A to point B. Let me give you my personal experience. My mother-in-law lives just off Father Ryan Avenue. It's a block off the beach. So I've got to go down Irish Hill to get to her house from my house. Well, guess what? During the height of scraping the coast, it usually takes me 10 minutes to get to her house. It took me 15 minutes to get to her house.
Oh, no.
Okay? I go down. I drive through my ward during these events. I was able Saturday afternoon at 5 o'clock to leave my house, drive down Beauvoir Road, turn on the Highway 90, go through Briarfield Subdivision, and be back at my house in 25 minutes. Usually it takes me about 12 minutes to do what I did. So number one, in the retelling, there are horrors without end. But actually, if you get out, as long as the traffic's moving, of course, you can get where you need to go. So I think the police did a very good job. The other thing is, when they close Highway 90 to single-lane traffic, it's to be sure emergency responders, fire, police, ambulance, can get from point A to point B if there's an issue. We learned that from spring break about 3 years ago, or 4 years ago.
Longer than that, year one.
So that being the case, that's always going to be an issue. Now, the other thing is, what can we do to alleviate the issue? No problem. We either have tons of events and raise lots of sales tax dollars so we can build a new road at local expense, unless we get some MDOT kicking in some money, which takes years and then becomes their project to be done their way. Or folks can say, raise my millage, and let's extend Irish Hill. No, better yet, let's build a third east-west corridor. I don't know where you're going to do it, because you got a cemetery in the middle of that.
But you got to start somewhere.
You have to start somewhere. Remember the elevated roadway above the railroad tracks?
Yeah.
Remember
yeah.
that was floated? And of course, how many billions would that cost? Remember after Katrina, We need to move the railroad tracks north of the bay. That was only going to cost $4 billion.
Yeah, and the rest of the country said we're doing it for the casinos.
Right. So, you know, these are issues we have to deal with. How do you preserve what you have? Because some people don't want these newfangled structures, layouts. Some people don't want rail travel.
They don't want anything.
Well, you know, I want things to stay the same. Now, I want things to get better as long as they don't affect me. Okay, in other words, I want things to change, but I don't want to have to change.
Not in my backyard.
And whatever the change is, you do whatever it takes to fix this or that, because we got to have it. But I don't want to pay for it. Mm.
I am so glad to hear you bring up this east-west corridor thing, because this, I saw it years ago, and it's always during the city election cycle, when this traffic thing comes up. We need more roads and so forth. Fofo Gillich made a big deal of it years ago when he ran against A.J. Holloway. The issue is still here. However, this is not a Biloxi issue. I think this is a One Coast issue. It goes the length of Harrison County. It really does. You agree? He's speechless, William. What do you
I'm
think?
I'm stunned.
Well, what do you mean?
I don't know that I fully buy into One Coast.
Well, nobody does unless it's convenient to them.
So then it really is One Coast almost.
It's a frame of mind, you know. Unless it involves the garbage thing or unless it involves ambulance service, it's a great idea.
Okay, so it's a frame of mind. So it's verified that you indeed have a mind that can be framed.
Yes,
all right.
Yes. It's a terrible thing to waste. But yeah, the One Coast thing is something that some people say it's convenient, you know, to say One Coast. However, it gets back to what you were saying earlier. If it affects me, well, no, I don't want to do that. We saw it on the garbage stuff. We saw it on just any number of issues. And it's usually got to do with who controls what.
Exactly, and I don't want to downplay the One Coast thing. I'm thinking, yeah, I believe everybody's all for One Coast, but I want to get my city share.
Right, right.
So, yeah, if we can't get a business here for some reason and Gulfport can get it, great.
I'm with you.
But still, it would be nice to have a third east-west corridor. That's a pipe dream, yeah. A pipe dream we can think about for a while, and maybe right after we build the Pops Ferry Bridge, which has been 20 years in the making.
You say that, but we're buying property now. We're acquiring property. We have engineers working on it, but that's not the case with this east-west corridor.
No, we're not. And that's going to take some state legislation and a lot of federal muscle.
Where are we right now? We're in a state election cycle.
Yeah, we are. However, speaking about the Pops Ferry Bridge, we are acquiring right-of-way. For the new bridge, the new Pops Ferry Bridge, and again, that's, I don't know, $180 million. My understanding is it would be a high-rise bridge, so you don't have the span that goes up and down anymore. Boat traffic passes underneath, uninterrupted vehicle travel north and south, and that'll take a while. I understand that things really got off the dime, so to speak, like three or four councils ago, so this is... You know, we're like in year, I don't know, 16 or 18 of it seems like an endless process, but eventually these things move forward. It takes a lot of agencies coordinating, and periodically you have to do certain studies to maintain the viability of the project. So that's kind of where we are now, but the fact that we're acquiring right-of-way means things are moving forward.
What other issues do you see right now that you want to speak to? It's a wide open question, pal.
Yeah. Pal says, I'd like to get out of this interview.
Well, I want to thank you for taking the time. And by the way, you do something that we're a fan of in the Public Affairs Division, and that is you do a Sunday morning e-blast. Explain to people how they could get that if they wanted to. And what I like about it is it's not just about your ward. It's about issues that are on the city council agenda.
Well, about a year and a half ago, I started putting out basically an email to any folks in Ward 5 who were interested, and then the world writ large can now receive my Sunday e-blast. Just send me your preferred email address to me. My email address is ptisdale1@yahoo. That's ptisdale1@yahoo.com. I'll add you to the distribution list. It doesn't cost you anything. I don't share the list with anybody. You can ask to be removed at any time. I try and keep it to one page, and I'm almost always successful at that. And every once in a while, I'll throw in an old picture of Biloxi. But it's really to pull a number of city functions together on one page so that if you're following something like the Sanger Theater or short-term rentals, then you can see which city meetings are occurring. You can see those agendas, and if there's something that catches your interest, you can be sure to be present at those meetings.
I see it as a good owner's manual, a good owner's manual to Biloxi. You want to know what's going on, you click on this and you've got a link directly to where you want to go. How about our guy over there in the police department, John Skillet Miller, named South Mississippi Strong? Was that not indeed a great honor?
I will tell you this, when I go up and down the coast, at the risk of stepping on some toes, speaking of one coast, when I go up and down the coast, what I hear, honestly, more often than not, is y'all have a terrific police chief.
Where?
He's up and down the coast here in Biloxi. We've got a terrific police chief, and if you've ever met him, if you've ever worked with him or had him coordinate some things, he and his staff, they're excellent to work with. I can't stress that enough. They're excellent. And to top it all off, John's a good man.
He is, and it all starts at the top. And, man, he gets beat unmercifully whenever we have a special event. It is all his fault that we put those I call him Conehead. Some guy put on Facebook the other day, Biloxi, the new Orange Beach. I thought it was the best one. But his challenge is there's only so much infrastructure. And when somebody dials 911, and by the way, that's what precipitated this year, actually implementing the one lane. They put the cones out just in case. Saturday night about 5:45, Saturday evening, 5:45, an ambulance was stuck in traffic. That's when they went to one lane. And until it's you, it's not a big deal.
Exactly. It's, you know, like people wonder what the firefighters do in the city of Biloxi. Since becoming a councilman, for example, I learned that they do a lot. They're a very tightly knit brotherhood. And the thing is, everybody thinks they're lounging around or flushing the fire hydrants, you know, and they really don't do anything, and they complain about them until they have a fire. Then they're the greatest people in the world. So the thing is, A, I can assure folks the firefighters are never lounging around.
They do it every day. They have a Lazy Boy test factory in each of the fire stations. You didn't know that?
There are a lot of things I don't know, you know.
But they're a great group. You're exactly right. William, you work over there with that police chief every day. Go ahead, throw yourself under the bus.
Oh, it's a grand experience, ladies and gentlemen. I'm most honored and humbled to work with a man of his caliber and a man of his integrity. And if you do have the opportunity, you should stop by and simply ask to see the chief, John Miller, and after the first 2 minutes or so, you'll realize what Councilman Tisdale is speaking of and what everyone speaks of when they mention his name across the coast.
Okay, William, well said. I knew he would do it, Paul. If somebody wanted to email you, say your email address again in case they have any questions or any comments they want to make.
ptisdale1@yahoo.com. That's ptisdale1@yahoo.com. Are we done yet, Vincent?
One last thing. And I wanted to just give people a heads up on this.
So the answer is no?
This is the last issue, and it's a big one. If you have weekly garbage or recycling or trash service at your home, then you should be receiving a bill every month from the city. It's about $14.33.
What? You got to pay for garbage pickup in the city of Biloxi? You actually have to pay $14.22 to haul off?
33 cents. Yeah.
You actually have to pay for that?
This is part of the big One Coast thing that we're involved in called the Harrison County Utility Authority. The Harrison County Utility Authority is in charge in Harrison County of the managing the contract that sees sewer service, treatment service done, garbage cans, carts picked up every week and emptied, recycling, and trash. All the cities go in together except for...
I'm not saying it.
Except for Gulfport. Anyway, here's the big deal. We are billed so much a month by the utility authority. The good thing would be is if that number matched the number of people who are paying bills in the city, but the numbers are not matching right now. So we've got some people who are not paying for garbage service. So what's going to be happening starting today, actually, and everybody's been given notices on this, we're going to start picking up carts. If there is not an account associated with that cart will be picked up. And it will not be at your home anymore. So what you should do is, if you're not paying your garbage fee and you know who you are, please call the Biloxi Public Water Department.
So that's why those chips were placed in those garbage cans.
It's all a matter of accountability. You're exactly right. And I got to tell you, one time I thought they didn't pick up my recycling because my recycling was sitting there and they picked up everybody else on the street. And I called them up and I said, they skipped me. I don't understand why. They were able to go back and look. I had so much recycling in the cart that it did not empty. It was too much in it. But they had a picture of the side of my house showing that cart. They had a picture from inside the truck showing it emptying. So there's a lot of accountability there.
So what they told you was what you had heard before, and that is, you're full of it.
Right. Yeah, I hear that a lot. But if you have a question about your garbage pickup, about your water bill, about your trash or recycling, I encourage you to call over to the water department, 435-6240, and they can make sure that you're in good shape. I think that does it, Paul.
Yeah, let me tell you, I represent great people in Ward 5, and as always, if any of you in Ward 5 are listening, call me if you think I can help you. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't. You have my number, 228-297-6800.
That is a brave man to put that number out there. Ooh, boy. John Miller does that for conventions. Gives him his cell number.
Yes, he does, but he's armed.
William, that wraps it up this week. We want to thank everybody for tuning in. Please continue to look at that city website. You'll find a lot of information there.
It was a pleasure, Vince, and a pleasure, William.
You've been listening to City Desk, news and views from City Hall, Biloxi, with your host, Public Affairs Manager for the City of Biloxi, Mr. Vincent Creel. This is William Sackett speaking.